الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهداه. أما بعد، الحديث 13 عن أبي حمزة أنس بن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه خادم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. رواه البخاري ومسلم. قال الشيخ ابن عثيمين رحمه الله تعالى: قوله لا يؤمن أحدكم أي لا يتم إيمان أحدنا، فالنفي هنا للكمال والتمام وليس نفيا لأصل الإيمان. فالإيمان في اللغة حقيقة إقرار القلب بما يرد عليه وليس التصديق، وقد يرد الإيمان بمعنى التصديق بقرينة مثل قوله تعالى: فآمن له لوط على أحد القولين، مع أنه يمكن أن يقال فآمن له لوط أي انقاد له أي إبراهيم وصدق دعوته. أما الإيمان في الشرع فهو كما سبق في تعريفه في اللغة: فمن أقر بدون قبول وإذعان فليس بمؤمن. وعلى هذا فاليهود والنصارى اليوم ليسوا بمؤمنين، لأنهم لم يقبلوا دين الإسلام ولم يذعنوا. وأبو طالب كان مقرا بنبوة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ويعلن ذلك ويقول: لقد علموا أن ابننا لا مكذب لدينا ولا يعنى بقول الأباطل. ويقول: ولقد علمت بأن دين محمد من خير أديان البرية دينا، لولا الملامة أو حذار مسبة لرأيتني سمحا بذات مبينا. وهذا إقرار واضح ودفاع عن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم، ومع ذلك ليس بمؤمن لفقده القبول والإنقياد، فلم يقبل الدعوة ولم ينقد لها فمات على الكفر والعياذ بالله. ومن فوائد هذا الحديث جواز نفي الشيء لانتفاء كماله، لقوله لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه، ومثله قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن من لا يأمن جاره بوائقه. ومن الأمثلة على نفي الشيء لانتفاء كماله قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا صلاة بحضرة طعام، أي لا صلاة كاملة، لأن هذا المصلي سوف يشتغل قلبه بالطعام الذي حضر، والأمثلة على هذا كثيرة. ثانيا، وجوب محبة المرء لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه، لأن نفي الإيمان عمن لا يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه يدل على وجوب ذلك، إذ لا ينفى الإيمان إلا لفوات واجب فيه أو وجود ما ينافيه. ثالثا، التحذير من الحسد، لأن الحاسد لا يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه، بل يتمنى زوال نعمة الله عن أخيه المسلم. وقد اختلف أهل العلم في تفسير الحسد، فقال بعضهم تمني زوال النعمة عن الغير، وقال بعضهم الحسد هو كراهة ما أنعم الله به على غيره. وهذا اختيار شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله، يقول: إذا كره العبد ما أنعم الله به على غيره فقد حسده وإن لم يتمنى الزوال. رابعا، أنه ينبغي صياغة الكلام بما يحمل على العمل به، لأن من الفصاحة صياغة الكلام بما يحمل على العمل به، والشاهد لهذا قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأخيه، لأن هذا يقتضي العطف والحنان والرقة. ونظير هذا قول الله عز وجل في آية القصاص: فمن عفي له من أخيه شيء، مع أنه قاتل،
تحنينا وتعطيفا لهذا المخاطب.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه. في قوله عليه الصلاة والسلام: لا يؤمن أحدكم الحديث. الكلام على الإيمان. الإيمان في اللغة التصديق الجازم الذي لا ريب فيه بكل ما يجب الإيمان به. والإيمان في اصطلاح العلماء نطق باللسان واعتقاد بالقلب وعمل بالجوارح يزيد بالطاعات وينقص بالمعصية. وهذا عند أهل السنة والجماعة بخلاف أهل البدع، فإنهم يعرفون الإيمان بتعريفات خاطئة. قالت الجهمية: الإيمان مجرد التصديق بالقلب، فمن صدق بقلبه فهو كامل الإيمان. وقولهم باطل، إذ يلزم منه أن إبليس الذي صدق بربه مؤمن كامل الإيمان، وهذا من أفدح الخطأ والغلط. وقالت الكرامية: فرقة من الفرق الهالكة، إن الإيمان نطق باللسان فقط ولو لم يعمل ولو لم يصدق بقلبه. قل الجهمية في الخطأ والضلال. ومن أهل البدع من يفسر الإيمان بأنه اعتقاد بالقلب ونطق باللسان ويختزل منه العمل، أي لا يدخل العمل في مسمى الإيمان، بل يقول الإيمان شيء والعمل شيء آخر. وهذا كلام باطل لقلة الفهم لنصوص الكتاب والسنة في حقيقة الإيمان وما عليه السلف الصالح فيه، من أنه كما سبق نطق باللسان وتصديق بالقلب وعمل بالجوارح يزيد بالطاعات وينقص بالمعاصي. ثم قسم العلماء الإيمان إلى قسمين: إيمان مطلق ومطلق إيمان. فالإيمان المطلق هو الإيمان الكامل، وقد دل على ذلك آيات من القرآن الكريم كقول الله تبارك وتعالى: قد أفلح المؤمنون، وكقوله عز وجل: في وصف المؤمنين الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا. فهؤلاء أصحاب الإيمان الكامل، ويسمى الإيمان المطلق. ومطلق الإيمان الذي هو أقل من الإيمان المطلق يسمى الإيمان الناقص. ففساق المسلمين وأهل البدع الذين لم تخرجهم بدعهم من دائرة الإسلام عندهم إيمان، أي مطلق الإيمان لا الإيمان المطلق. لذا يفسر الحديث: لا يؤمن أحدكم، أي لا يبلغ الإيمان المطلق حتى يحب لأخيه من الخير في شؤون دينه ودنياه ما يحبه لنفسه كذلك، ويكره أن يصل إلى إخوانه المؤمنين الشر كما يكره أن يصل الشر إليه. إذن فمن الآداب ومن الحرص على كسب الخير والقيام بالحقوق أن يحب الإنسان من الخيرات ما يحب لأخيه المسلم من ذكر وأنثى وقريب وبعيد ما يحبه لنفسه، وأن يكره أن يصل الشر إلى أخيه المسلم ذكرا كان أو أنثى كما يكره أن يصل الشر إليه. وإذ كان الأمر كذلك فإن من القيام بهذا الواجب وهذا الحق هو التواصي بالحق والتواصي بالصبر والتراحم على ما جاء في نصوص الشرع، كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: مثل المؤمنين في توادهم وتراحمهم وتعاطفهم كمثل الجسد الواحد، إذا اشتكى منه عضو تداعى له سائر الأعضاء بالسهر والحمى. فهذا الحديث من الموازين الشرعية التي يستطيع المؤمن العارف أن يزن بها نفسه أن يزن بها غيره من الناس. فما رأيته يحب لإخوانه المسلمين لنفسه من الخير الديني والدنيوي ويكره وصول الشر إليهم كما يكره وصول الشر لنفسه، فأعلم أنه حقق الإيمان وقام بحق الأخوة واهتم بشؤون المسلمين، فهو على جانب من الخير العظيم ومن أهل الإيمان المطلق. وإن كان من جملة الحاسدين الذين يتمنون زوال النعمة عن الغير سواء طلبوها لأنفسهم أم لا، فهذا يعرف بأنه ليس من أهل الإيمان المطلق، وإنما هو من أهل الإيمان الناقص والحسد داء خطير يرد على القلوب والنفوس، فترى الحاسد يحب أن يصل الخير إلى نفسه ويتمنى زواله عن الغير ولا يبالي أن يصل الشر إلى غيره من الناس، فصار في إيمانه نقص عظيم والناس متفاوتون في حقيقة الإيمان وأعمال الإيمان ومتفاوتون في الحسد وأسباب الحسد وما يؤول إليه. وأن الحاسد معترض على الله تبارك وتعالى، لأن الله هو المعطي للخير، هو الذي يعطي الخير لمن يشاء ويصرف الشر عمن يشاء، سواء كان ذلك من أمر الدين أو من أمر الدنيا. فمن حسد فقد اعترض على الله، وهذا من أكبر الخطر ومن سوء الأدب. مع الله تبارك وتعالى.
يقول سائل أحسن الله إليكم: ما حكم البخل وما هو علاجه؟
البخل معناه إمساك المال وعدم إنفاقه فيما أوجب الله تبارك وتعالى في المال، وعلى رأس ذلك الزكاة في الأموال، من بخل بها فهو أشد الناس بخلا. ثم يأتي بعد ذلك الكفارات، سواء في الأيمان أو في قتل الخطأ أو في الصوم، ويأتي بعد ذلك الإنفاق في وجوه البر والخير الذي يعود نفعه على صاحبه. فمن أمسك المال فلم يخرج الواجب منه كالزكاة والإنفاق على من تجب نفقتهم عليه، والإحسان منه بقدر الاستطاعة، فهو بخيل. من بخل بهذه الأشياء فهو بخيل، والعكس بالعكس، من بذل الحقوق في المال وأداها من المال الواجب والمستحبة فهو السخي، وهو الجواد، وهو الذي يؤجر على نفقاته على نفسه وعلى غيره وفي وجوه البر.
أحسن الله إليكم. يكون المسجد عندنا أحيانا ممتلئا وبعض الناس يصلون أمام الإمام، فهل نقول لهم بإعادة الصلاة؟
إذا كان يصلون أمام الإمام وهم مقتدون به فيعيدون صلاتهم، نعم، لأن المقتدي بالإمام لا بد أن يكون وراءه ولا يكون أمامه، فصلاتهم غير صحيحة.
حتى لو كان هناك مكان تلأ المسجد،
ولو تلأ المسجد ينتظرون، لو تلأ المسجد ينتظرون حتى يفرغ المكان ثم يصلون.
أحسن الله إليكم. هل يجوز للرجل أن يتحدث إلى المرأة التي يريد الزواج بها؟
يتحدث إلى وليها أولا، إن استطاع أن ينظر إليها فهذا لا حرج فيه من السنة، وإن لم يستطع فعليه أن يكون التفاهم بينه وبين الولي حتى يتم العقد، وبعد ذلك هي زوجته. وأما التبسط في الكلام يجر بعضه بعضا حتى يقع هو أو هي في المأثم، فلا ينبغي أن يبتعد عنه الشاب المسلم خيانة لنفسه من الوقوع في الخطأ، وهكذا تبتعد عنه المخطوبة خيانة لعرضها وحفظا لدينها وحفظا أيضا لكرامة أهلها.
هذا، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ونلتقي إن شاء الله في الأسبوع القادم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه، وبعد. حديث نمبر 13. On the authority of Abu Hamza, Anas ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, the servant of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "None of you will have the iman until he loves for his brother that which he loves for himself. None of you will have the iman until he loves for his brother that which he loves for himself. So the Shaykh's son, Hafidhahullah, he began by reading some of the explanation of Shaykh Muhammad Salih Al-Uthaymeen on this hadith. And the Shaykh said, meaning, none of you will have iman, la yu'minu, none of you will have iman, meaning complete and perfect iman. When the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, none of you will have iman, meaning the complete and the perfect iman. Hatta yuhibb li akhihi, until he loves for his brother, meaning his Muslim brother. Ma yuhibbu li nafsihi, that which he loves for himself. The Shaykh mentions, from the affairs of the religion and the life of this world, because it is a requirement of the brotherhood based upon iman, to love for your brother that which you love for yourself. Also, iman fluctuates, so from it is that which is complete, and from it is that which is deficient. This is the methodology of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that it increases and decreases. Also, the encouragement of loving good and excellence for the believers, due to his statement, until he loves for his brother that which he loves for himself. Also, the precaution of loving for the believers that which he does not love for himself. The precaution of loving for the believers that which he does not love for himself, because this decreases the iman, to the point that the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam negated his iman. Yes, this indicates the importance that a person loves for his brother that which he loves for himself. Also, the strengthening, from the benefit of this hadith, the strengthening of the ties between the believers. Also, whosoever has this characteristic, it is not possible for him to aggress against anyone from the believers regarding his wealth or his honor or his family, because he would not like that someone aggresses against him. So due to this, it is not possible for him to love aggressing against anyone regarding that. Also, it is incumbent upon the Islamic nation to be one hand and one heart. This is taken from the reality that the complete and perfect iman is to love for the brother that which he loves for himself. Also, utilizing that which has an implication is from the styles of speech in his statement, li akhihi, for his brother. And if he willed, he could have said, none of you will have iman until he loves for the mu'min, for the believer, that which he loves for himself. But rather, he said, for his brother. Yes? With the implication that a person should love for the mu'min, for the believer, that which he loves for himself. Also, the Shaykh mentioned that this is the same as the hadith where the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, there's no prayer when the food is served. And the Shaykh said, this means that the reward of the prayer would not be complete. Yes, because when the person is praying, his mind would be occupied with the food. If he did not eat before, when the food is served, and he prays before he eats, his mind will be occupied. So when the Messenger ﷺ said, there is no prayer for the person, when food is served, meaning the reward is decreased. And it does not mean there is no prayer at all. Then Shaykh Zayd al-Madkhali, hafidhullah, he began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and sending a peace and a salutation upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and upon his companions and his followers. And he said, in the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, none of you will believe until the rest of the hadith, he said, this hadith addresses iman. This hadith addresses the faith or the iman. And linguistically, this means to have the belief with certainty in one's heart and without any doubt. Yes, and this is in regards to everything which the person should have belief in. Yes, to have the belief with certainty in the heart in everything that the person has to believe in, without any doubt. And in the terminology or in the definition of the scholars, it is speech of the tongue, belief of the heart, and action of the limbs. The definition of iman, according to the scholars, is speech of the tongue, or belief in the heart, speech of the tongue, and action of the limbs. And it increases and with the obedience, and decreases with sinning. And the Shaykh said, and this is according to the people of Sunnah and Jama'ah. This is according to Ahlul Sunnah and Jama'ah. And this is in opposition to the belief of the people of innovation and desire. For example, the Shaykh said, from these deviated groups are the Jahmiyyah, who claim that the iman, it's merely يعني belief in the heart. Yes? And any person, they claim any person who has the belief in his heart without any actions, then this person has the complete iman. The Sheikh says this is falsehood and it's invalid, because this would necessitate that Iblis also is a believer. So if you believe that only merely having the belief in your heart is sufficient without any action, the Sheikh said this is falsehood, and this would necessitate that Iblis is also a complete believer. Yes? And the Sheikh said this is a great mistake. Another group who also deviated in this matter is a group which is called Al-Karramiyyah. And they claim that iman is only a speech of the tongue, or statement of the tongue. And even if the person does not do any action, or he does not have the belief and a certainty in his heart, as long as he utters the words with his tongue, then he's a believer. And the Sheikh said, and they are just like the Jahmiyyah in the misguidance, and in the mistake that they have fallen into. Also, the Sheikh said, amongst the people of innovation and desire are those who deny the actions of the limbs. And they say that, or they separate iman from actions. They say iman is one thing and actions are another thing. So they are separate. And the Sheikh said this is batil, this is falsehood and or invalid. And they have said this because of their lack of knowledge and their lack of understanding to the book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also the misunderstanding of the way of the Salaf, the past predecessors. And the Sheikh said, and the correct one is that it is speech of the tongue, belief in the heart, and action of the limbs. And this is the correct way. Then the scholars have divided iman into two categories. Yes? The scholars have divided iman into two categories. The first one... Okay, the scholars have divided iman into two categories. Yes? The first one is al-iman al-mutlaq, the absolute iman, the absolute belief, the absolute faith. Yes? So the scholars have divided iman into two categories. The first one, the absolute iman. And the Sheikh said, there are many, yeah, this is the perfect iman. And there are many proofs from the Book of Allah which serve as proof for this category. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Mu'minun, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, successful are the believers. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in another verse, those who, when the verses of Allah are recited to them, it would increase them in iman, or their hearts tremble and it would increase them in iman. So the Shaykh said, those people are the people of iman, which is perfect, the absolute iman, yes, the absolute faith. And also, it's called al-mutlaq. Al-mutlaq here, the absolute. The second type or the second category is mutlaq al-iman. Yes, يعني the words have been twisted the other way around. And this one, the Sheikh said, is less than the one before. The iman or the belief or the faith of these people is less than the ones with the absolute iman. And it is deficient. And included in this are the sinners of the believers, the fasaq, the open sinners of the believers, the people of innovation, the ones who have innovation which does not take them outside of the fold of Islam. So they have innovations, but these innovations do not take them outside of Islam. So those people are also included in this category. So they have an iman which is deficient. Yes, and so the Sheikh said, this person, he does not reach the absolute iman. Yes, until he loves for himself, or he loves for his brother in the matters of this life, the worldly life, and in the matters of the religion and hereafter. This person does not reach iman until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Yes? And likewise, that he hates the evil to affect his brother or to be afflicted on his brother, just like he would hate any evil to be afflicted upon him. So the Sheikh said, that means, or therefore, from the etiquettes and from the manners, is that the person, he intends to reach the goodness. Yes? And he intends also, he strives to fulfill the rights of others. And from it is that the person likes for his brother, for his fellow brother, the goodness. Yes? Whether male or female. Yes? When the Sheikh said brother, I said male or female. And whether the person is close to you, يعني a relative, or someone who's distant to you. You'd love the good for them and you hate the evil for them. Just like as you hate it for yourself, you hate the evil for other people as well. So the Sheikh said, establishing this obligation, is from يعني advising one another and be patient upon يعني one another and also showing mercy to one another. And يعني it has been narrated from the Sunnah of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم that he said, the example of the believers in their mercy and kindness to each other is like the body. If any limb is يعني afflicted with any pain, the rest of the body will be afflicted with the يعني staying up in the night and with fever. So when one part of the body limb is afflicted with يعني sickness or with any pain, the rest of the body cannot sleep as well. So this is the example of the believers in their kindness and mercy towards each other. So the Sheikh said, so this narration, it is from يعني the measures which the person uses to measure the people and to weigh them, to see how they are. So this hadith that we were explaining here, the Sheikh said the person can use to see how the people are, to يعني, analyze how the people are. So whosoever you see from the people that he loves for himself and for his brothers, the goodness, and he hates for them, the evil, then know that this person, he has achieved the absolute iman. And he has also fulfilled the rights of his brothers. And he is upon great يعني goodness. He's upon a lot of goodness. And he is from the people of the absolute iman. As for, on the other hand, if this person, if you see a person who is from amongst those يعني people who envy others, those يعني jealous people, and they envy others for what they have, and they wish that the blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the particular person is lifted from him, is taken from him. So he envies him so much that he wants Allah to remove this يعني blessing that he gave him. And the Shaykh said, whether they have asked for this blessing to be given to them, or they did not ask, then it is this person is still يعني from the group which is have not achieved the absolute iman, and for he's from the enviers. So he does have iman, but his iman is deficient. So the person who envies others, and whether he wishes that this blessing comes to him, or he doesn't want it to be lifted from the person, then this person, he does not fall into the one which is absolute iman. But the iman, their faith is deficient. So the Shaykh said, the person who envies, or the envy is a يعني dangerous disease. Envy is a dangerous disease, and this happens to the hearts and also to the souls. This disease is afflicted upon the hearts and the souls. And you see that the people who envy, he would love يعني the khair for himself, he would love the goodness for himself, and he wants also the khair to be taken from others as well. So he wants the goodness for himself, and he does not want any goodness for the others. And if anyone has goodness, he wants it to be taken away from him. And he does not care, or he does not pay any attention to the evil that afflicts the people. And he does not he does not care if the evil is lifted from him, or he does not mind if someone is afflicted with evil, as long as it does not befall on him. So the Sheikh said, then this person has a great deficiency in his iman. Such person has a great deficiency in his iman. And people, they vary, or they يعني, the states of the people varies or fluctuates between يعني, how envious they are. Yes, and also it varies how deficient is their iman. It's not everyone is the same, but they vary in the deficiency of iman, and they also vary in the reasons why the iman is deficient. Yes, they have different reasons. And the Sheikh said, the one who envies the people, the person who envies the people, then this person, al-hasid يعني, this person, he shows an objection to Allah's judgment. He objects to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives. Allah is he's the one who bestows his mercy. He's the one that gives the blessings. So, and he gives the goodness to whomsoever he wishes. And he removes the evil from whosoever he wishes. So the person who envies another person, then in reality this person is objecting to Allah's decree and is objecting to Allah's judgment. And this is from the greatest of dangers, the Sheikh said. It is from the greatest of the dangers and from the يعني, from the ill manners, showing ill manners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having bad manners towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. سؤال أول ما حكم البخل وما هو علاجه. So the first question is يعني what is the ruling of being miserly or being stingy and what is the cure for it. So the sheikh said البخل معناه إمساك المال وعدم إنفاقه فيما أوجب الله في المال. So that being miserly or being stingy means that you withhold the wealth and you do not spend it in that which Allah has obligated upon you. وعلى رأس ذلك الزكاة في الأموال. And يعني on the head of that, or the first and foremost of that, is paying charity in the money that you have. Paying charity. Yes, which is from the pillars of Iman. Pillars of Iman. Islam. And من بخل بها فهو أشد الناس بخلا. So whosoever is miserly or stingy with his wealth and he does not pay the zakah for it, or he does not pay the zakah which is due to it, يعني, then this person is the most severe in يعني being stingy or being miserly. ثم بعد ذلك الإنفاق في وجوه البر والخير الذي يفيد صاحبه. After that the sheikh said, so after paying off the charity which is Allah's right, after that he spends in that which is recommended from يعني that from the doors of goodness, yes, which benefits him as well. So he gives to the people, he spends in that which is recommended, so he benefits himself, he gets the reward. فمن أمسك المال ولم ينفقه على من تجب نفقته عليه فهو بخيل. So whosoever withholds the wealth and he does not spend it upon the people who are يعني obligatory upon him to spend on them, then this person is miserly. And the opposite is true. والعكس صحيح. The sheikh said the person who has the money, he has the wealth and he spends it, yes, he spends it in ways of goodness, and he spends it upon the people who it is obligatory upon him to spend on them and to provide for them, then this person فهو السخي والجواد والذي يؤجر والذي يؤجر على هذا. So the sheikh said, so this person who does this, he is the generous person and he is the given person and he is the person who gets rewarded for that which he spends. يكون المسجد أحيانا, سؤال ثاني, يكون المسجد أحيانا ممتلئ فيصلي الناس أمام الإمام فهل يسألهم أن يعيدوا صلاتهم. Yes, so the question is, sometimes the masjid is overcrowded with people and some of the people they pray in front of the imam. So do we ask them to repeat their prayer? قال الشيخ إذا كان يصلون أمام الإمام ومقتدون به فيعيدون الصلاة. So if the people pray with the imam, they're following his prayer, so they're following in prayer and they're praying with him, then and they also praying in front of him, then they repeat the prayer, the sheikh said. لأنه لابد من المأموم أن يكون خلف الإمام, because it is a must that the imam or the ma'moom, the person who prays behind the imam, it is a must that he prays behind him and not in front of him. أما إذا كان ممتلئا فينتظرون ويصلون من بعد. As for if the masjid was overcrowded, if the masjid was full and there was no space to pray in order for you to be behind the imam, then the sheikh said they remain, they wait until they finish the prayer and then they pray. أسأل الشيخ أخي الشيخ خلنا نخلص بعدين إن شاء الله.
لا جيب جواب.
أنا ما جاوب يا أخي.
على شنو؟
الشيخ يجاوب.
لو صليت عقب بيده حصل ظهر عادي الجمعة راحت عني.
سؤال ثالث, هل يجوز للرجل أن يتحدث إلى المرأة التي يريد أن يتزوج بها؟ Is it permissible for the third question? Is it permissible for the man to speak to a woman which he is يعني which he desires to marry? نعم. So the sheikh said يتحدث إلى وليها. He should speak to the person who's in charge of her father and so on. Yes, he has to speak to the person who's in charge of her. أولا إن استطاع أن ينظر إليها فهذا من السنة. So firstly, the sheikh said, if the person is able to see her, يعني, then this is from the sunnah that he sees from her that which calls him to marry her. وإن لم يستطع فيفعل بإذن وليها. If he is unable to look at her, then he has to do so through the permission of her father or the person who's in charge of her wali. أما الكلام فإنه يجر بعضه بعضا ويقعان في الإثم. The sheikh said, as for the speech, يعني opening up speech and speaking to each other, and then يعني one thing leads to another and start speaking even more and more excessive speech, then these people would fall into sin. Slowly they would fall into sin. فهذا عليه أن يبتعد عنه الرجل والمرأة أيضا حفظا لدينهم وصيانة يعني المرأة لأهلها. As for the sheikh said, or this person who يعني is asking whether it's permissible for the man to speak to the woman, then he is advised to stay away from this. He is advised to stay away from this so that he does not fall into sin. And likewise, the woman, she's advised to stay away from speaking in this manner so that she preserves يعني, or protects her religion and also preserves the honor of her family. هذا وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.